This is Billy Carson with ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. Forbidden Knowledge TV has just reached its 1 year anniversary. That's right, 1 year. And as a show of appreciation, we are giving all new subscribers a free 30-day trial of ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. That's 30 days to binge watch thousands of movies, documentaries, conferences, workshops, lectures, yoga classes, meditation courses, and so much more. So log on to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv from your computer or mobile device, or get the Forbidden Knowledge TV app on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play today, and use coupon code 30DAYSFREE. That's coupon code 30 days free on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv today. You are watching Forbidden Knowledge TV. Hey everyone, my name is Billy Carson. Welcome to the Forbidden Knowledge Podcast. I have an amazing guest today. His name is King Crooked, also known as Crooked Eye. He's an American rapper from Long Beach, California. He's best known as former member of the hip-hop supergroup Slaughterhouse, with other members as Joe Budden, Joel Ortiz, Royce, and also he's currently the CEO of his own record label, Dynasty Entertainment and COB Digital. As well as he's also the senior vice president of Treacherous Records. Before starting his own label, he was also signed to Virgin Records. So without further ado, welcome King Crooked. All right, guys, it's Billy Carson, also known as Forbidden Knowledge. I got a very special guest today, King Crooked. If you don't know, Slaughterhouse is in the house, yes. Okay? You know, so Forbidden Knowledge, man, you know, I touch on every single realm. Some of you guys know, some of you don't know, I am an artist. And have produced a lot of music and have been on Billboard for 8 weeks in 2018 with Donnie Arcade in Return of Enki album and Cruz and a lot of great other artists, the late great artists that we have, that Jackson Turner, that unfortunately passed away in 2020. But so today we're going to talk about dedication, hard work, perseverance, what it takes to get to the next level. What does it take to perfect your talent? So welcome to the show, Crook.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, brother. Big fan of what you do. I learned a lot from your page, man. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I'm a big, big fan, man. I've been following your work for a very long time. You know, you guys, you came out of an era that's really my era. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s era of music to me is the most memorable. And when I hear music from artists with that age and that frame, I could tell, you know, they're from that age of that, and I can relate to.
Right.
You're probably to me one of the greatest lyricists that are out there.
I appreciate that, my brother.
Oh, for sure, man. There's no doubt in my mind about it at all. I was so pleased when I was able to get you booked to come on the podcast. I was like, oh man, I can't believe this. This is great.
Dope.
Yeah. I'm a real student of gifts and talent when it comes to being a lyricist and an artist, you know, and I think you convey and portray a lot of that. And so I'm really honored to have you on the show, man.
Man, it's my pleasure being here, man. Thank you for the invite. You know, let's talk about it, man. Let's talk definitely.
About it. Now, one thing I found out, like when I started trying to break my way into the music business, that a lot of doors were being closed in my face instantaneously. So, I mean, people are like, you want to do what? Man, get out of here, you know? And it was like, it was, I mean, people who I thought I had, like, I was going to be, they were cool with me, or people who I thought was, you know, like liking my content on social media and other things like that, that were in the music industry. I thought that they would be like, oh, wow, well, maybe I got my foot in the door. Maybe I can talk to this person, that person. Just even to get advice was hard.
Right.
And so can you tell the people a little bit like your beginnings of how you started in getting into rap and some of the little obstacles that you had to go through, you know, to even make it to the point where you can actually, you know, become and say, I am an artist now.
Hey, man, I just got to give a lot of props and credit to my mother. She believed in me, you know, and we come from, you know, humble beginnings. We didn't have a lot, you know, and but she made sure that I had a boom box, you know, from back in the day where you had the boom box with the tapes, cassette tapes, you know, you young guys, y'all don't know nothing about that. But she made sure that I had the tools. Like if there was a magazine out with rappers in it, you know, Big Daddy Kane, Kool G Rap, Run DMC, Ice Cube, N.W.A., Public Enemy, you know, she would make sure that she would get those magazines for me because she saw that I was very interested in that. And I started at a young age. She put me in the studio my first time when I was 8 years old.
Wow. So,
you know, and I spit a rap called The Controller, microphone controller. So, you know, I started at a young age. I fell in love with it. And I think that's a very, very important thing for artists. I feel like an artist needs to fall in love with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, yeah.
There's going to be ups and downs. And if you love it, you won't give up. So I fell in love with it at a young age, man, and I started taking it real serious in my teenage years. And it was a lot, like you said, you know, some people were like, hey, man, nah, that's a pipe dream. Get out of here. You know how many people want to have record deals? That ain't going to happen for you. Learn another skill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
there's
a lot of that pushback. And things cost money, man. You know, studio time, you know, that costs money. Some producers, they want to make a beat for you. That costs money. You know, transportation to the showcase to showcase your talent. That's money. You know, what are you going to wear on stage at the open mic? You know, everything costs money. So it's it's you have that obstacle when you're coming from, you know, like I said, humble beginnings. And then you also have, you know, naysayers around you. Saying that, you know, some might even be related to you and your family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to learn how to put the blinders on. You got to learn how to be focused. And, you know, you have to have some tough skin because some people might look at your creation and say, hey, man, that's whack. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to make it. That's not good enough. So you got to be a student. You got to keep your thick skin and, you know, just keep your hard hat and your boots tied up and understand that, yes, it looks great when you're looking at other rappers and celebrities, but you're looking at their results. You're not looking at their grind. You're not looking at behind the scenes. You're not looking at the hustle, the struggle. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, man, it was tough, man, in the beginning. I mean, I had to catch buses, trains, walk. I had to scrape up money to buy studio time by the hour, you know. Only enough money to book 3 hours and try to make a whole album in 3 hours. I just go in there and get to rapping everything I had memorized and do, all right, that track is over. All right, pull up the next track. All right, pull up the next track. Looking at the clock on the wall, like, man, I got to make this, you know, all because I don't have enough money for 4 hours, you know? So it was really, it was nice, man, because it built character, man. And it was, I wouldn't change it. You know, back then it was rough and tough, but now that I'm looking back, I wouldn't change it because it really gave me the strength and the grit to be in this industry, man, because you're going to need both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. No doubt. You mentioned a couple of things that really stood out to me where, you know, we're talking about this is pre-internet, pre-home studio days for the most part, unless you had a lot of money to build a studio at home. So you actually had to go to a physical studio, which means you had to pay for that studio time, you know, which now it was so easy for me in terms of just at least creating something because I can have my MPK beat machine at my house, a microphone at my house, and, you know, create everything through a computer and send the files out to people to get engineered and mixed and all this kind of stuff. But back then you had to physically show up. So you had to, like you say, you had to have the money to get there, the transportation, the time, and the studio fees. And so that means you have to be prepared before you get to the studio, because you can't go there and waste your time.
Right. Yeah. You had to be prepared. Everything was, you know, like you said, this is pre-internet. So, you know, you gotta, if you're not prepared, you're going to waste all your money, and that's just going to be a bad look. You're going to leave out of the studio feeling bad. So you want to have as many rhymes memorized, songs memorized.
Right.
You want to try to get them done in one take. You know, now we have the technology where we could just punch in here, punch in there, and kind of, you know, craft the song as we go along. But back then, you on the clock, man. You got to go.
Yeah.
One take. Yeah. I can't mess this up. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was almost like being on Broadway theater. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't no cut. Let's do the scene again. Nah, you just up there and you got to go. So, yeah, it was a lot. It was different, man. We had physical CDs, physical cassettes. You know, we used to go to Kinko's and get our mixtape album artwork copies, press copies of it, and you know, hustle on the corners. Hey, check out my mixtape, you know, or come out of the trunk, as they say, you know.
Yeah,
it was just a real in the streets, in the mix game. You had to get out there, man, and it taught me how to network, which became very important later on in my later years in my career. You know, the ability to network with people became one of the biggest, you know, networking. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would be. So, you know, that prepared me for this, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're saying a lot of things that I talk about in my Manifest Destiny workshops. And in my Manifest Destiny workshops, I talk a lot about, you know, being prepared. In other words, if you've got a gift and, you know, you want to monetize that gift, you have to, first of all, make sure you're passionate about it. Because people have some talents and gifts that they're not passionate about. So they actually squander their gift. And in those cases, they don't really do anything with them. But if you find one of your gifts and you're passionate about that particular gift and you want to monetize that passion, because that's the only thing you really want to pursue. And unfortunately, we're in this financial matrix that we can't avoid it. It's here. We're in it. We're living in it. We have to be able to, you know, we got to pay money to eat. And so, but if you can follow your passion and you can perfect that gift, because just because you have a gift, Michael Jordan had a gift to play basketball, but he had to perfect that gift. He had to work at it. It's like you had to work at your talent, your skill. You had to craft it. And then when the time is right, you got to be prepared. So when the opportunity presents itself, you have to be prepared. Like, you can't just be a person that's wanting to get to this end result, but not really fully prepared, haven't maximized yourself, haven't rehearsed your lines. In the case of trying to manifest or become better at your particular talent, not working on your craft. And then when the opportunity presents itself, you're not really ready to go. And the opportunity for you would be, I'm in the studio on a hot mic. Mm-hmm. And it's time to spit these rhymes right now. And I got one or two takes and that's it. Because anything more than that, my money is gone and it's not going to get done today. I got to go get back out there on these streets and do whatever I can, go to work, cut yards, wherever it is to make some money so I can come back. Ask my mom for some money so I can come back and do it again. So you got to maximize. So in real life, in the real world, we always have to maximize our opportunities. And so what I see a lot of the times, I see people that get these opportunities for people that want to utilize their gift in the world. Because to monetize your gift, you have to find people that need it. So once you follow your passion, you perfect your gift, you're prepared, and you find somebody that needs to use that gift, then when they use your gift, it's an energy exchange, and the side effect is money. Money only shows up as a side effect of you following your passion and using your gift for people who need what that gift provides to them. And that's how the energy exchange, you know, goes back and forth. And so what I see is you're following that same exact track, and that's how you were able to manifest, you know, your reality, because you literally fell in line. Did you have any kind of guidance as to how you were following this real great manifestation track? Did anybody like help you, or did you just naturally flow right into that?
I got help at first from hip hop because the culture was very educational.
Yeah.
When I was coming up, when you was coming up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could actually learn things from songs that you weren't taught in school. So, you know, things like knowledge of self, or, you know, the kind of the law of attraction theories were being rapped about, rhymed about in songs, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And those things were teaching me. So I was learning, you know. And then, you know, after that, I started getting mentors and I would meet somebody because I don't have a problem asking questions and I don't have a problem trying to find out, you know, the best route to take and things of that nature. So, you know, if somebody who was older than me in the music business or on the legal side of the music business would have time to talk to me, I would soak it up. I soak all that game up. You know what I mean? So, it was a combination of hip hop, the culture being what we used to call edutainment, education and entertainment. We used to, you know, learn from it so much. So it was that combination of that and coming across just cool people, man, that, you know, I think my energy was attracting, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I had a guy, man, Elijah, man, I got to just shout him out real quick because he had a bookstore real when we were young on the east side of Long Beach where I'm from. And his bookstore was called Uhuru Sasa, which in Swahili means freedom now. And right here on the corner of Atlantic Avenue and Hill Street, you would see this red, black, and green building with all these books inside the building to elevate your mind. And we had a lot of, you know, gang members, you know, college students, high school students, just everybody came there and we would build with each other and have freestyle ciphers and just talk about society. And it was really a great breeding ground, you know, for us. And, you know, he had that there and he used to give me a lot of information. I would show him these contracts that independent people were trying to give me when I was a teenager. And he'd be like, man, this don't look right. You know, he himself was educated. He went to USC. You know, he made it out the hood and was able to go to USC and then he come back and give back to the community. You know what I'm saying? By bringing books and knowledge to the community. And he would tell me, man, like, this don't look right. This don't look right. I would check this part out, that part. So I got so much help along the way. I got a lot of stories like that. So, you know, the help along the way really, really is one of the reasons why I'm so quick to offer any help that I can to a younger artist. You know what I mean? Because I received it and I want to give it back.
Wow. That's an amazing story. That really reminds me, going back into ancient times, the Library of Alexandria in Africa. And I'm actually going to be there in about 2 weeks, which is pretty amazing. Yeah, I'm going there. You know, obviously, the library burned down and the Serapeum and the catacombs are there. But I'm doing a story on it because I already know what happened to those books. The books really didn't burn. Some burned, but the majority of the books were stolen. And that's a whole little series I'm doing on my TV network. But what's amazing is if you look at the account of the Library of Alexandria, people of all walks of life went there from all over the world. They visited Alexandria in Egypt, which is in, was at the very tip of Africa. And you're, even if you came to the dock to go to the library, you had to pay with books and knowledge. That was your fee, knowledge. And anybody who came through that region, you had to come there with knowledge in your hand. You had to come there with books, information, or you could be sent away. And people would come there and collaborate from all over the place, all walks of life, all races, all colors, all belief systems. And people would share and break bread and just share that knowledge. And what you're telling me, it kind of sounds like a similar situation to, you know, to the ancient Library of Alexandria, where people came from all walks of life to that location and broke bread, shared knowledge and wisdom, understanding, learned things. And then from there, you know, spread out and took that knowledge, a fractal of that knowledge away with them to wherever they came from. It's really, it's really very similar. That's pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That's crazy. And man, thanks for sharing that, bro. Cause I like to go down rabbit holes. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm going to go down to the Alexandria, you know, the Library of Alexandria rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
Cause that right there sounds crazy, man. Like, you know, you come in, you have to pay with knowledge, with books. You know what I'm saying? Like, what better way? Man, that's just, I love that, man. I love that.
Yeah, that was an awesome concept. And there were a lot of one-off written books there that, you know, obviously back then you had to make a lot of copies of a book was hard because you didn't have printing presses. So everything was handwritten, but there were copies. But a lot of people would bring one-off original, you know, copies, no other in existence to that location.
Wow.
And it's incredible. And so what I really do believe happened is a lot of those books were taken in a big heist. And a lot of them ended up in a specific location, which I'm going to cover in my show. I don't want to give it away yet.
Right, but
it's a huge story, man. It's a real huge story. And so what we've been taught is a little bit different than what I think. And again, this is a theory based off of circumstantial evidence, but it's pretty interesting, you know. But yeah, so that's pretty cool, man.
Can't wait to see that. Can't wait to check that out.
Oh, it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome. You know, so like, you know, like you said, you had a mentor and you had this really special place where you were able to go. I had some similar experiences as well, you know, going through my business life where I would meet with mentors and people that were way ahead of me and would drop knowledge to me. And one thing I learned, and you can let me know if you had the experiences as well, is when I was listening to these people, I had to drop my ego, had to go to zero, because they would tell me sometimes some hard truths about what they see. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, wow, you know, like one guy told me, he said, you know, Billy, you know, you'll be rich, but you'll never be wealthy. I was like, ooh, like, why is he telling me that? We're just here chilling, you know, you know, going over some things, whatever. He just out of the blue, like pimp slapped me. You know, I'm like, what? I like, why would you say that? He said, because you want to have your hand in every aspect of your business and you don't know how to delegate workloads. And until you learn how to delegate workloads, you'll never get to the highest level. I was like, damn. Now, in the ego in me could have been like, man, who's this guy? I think he's talking. Man, I'm only 20 years old. I'm doing this. I got this and that. I got all these great things going on, blah, blah, blah. I could have been like, you know, whatever, man, you know. Or what I did was I dropped my ego to zero. I said, look, man, I don't really fully understand what that statement meant, what you meant by that statement, but can you please break it down to me and tell me exactly what you're trying to say? And that's when he broke it down to me. And I was like, oh, okay, I understand now. Well, what can I do to get to that? You know, what can I do to get to that point? What can I do to create this team work and, you know, and build a system? And so did you experience that? In other words, you know, sometimes they would tell you hard truths that you could see if you had ego, it would get in the way of you progressing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Because, you know, in the creation process, when you're making music, you know, those egos are flying.
Yeah.
And so if you can really, you got to turn the egos down because, man, listen, man, when I was making one of my first professional CDs that I appeared on was a compilation. It was called the 19th Street Compilation. Mm. It's still out there, too. Mm. And, you know, Snoop Dogg was like one of the biggest artists in the world at the time. I mean, he still is. Mm. But it's right when he just really, really blew up.
Yeah.
You know, we all from Long Beach, so, you know, we always cross paths and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he was in the studio.
Mm.
And, you know, the compilation featured about probably 10 to 15 different rappers from Long Beach.
Wow.
And, you know, we were all young. He was already him. Mm-hmm. He has already, you know, 4 million albums sold, you know what I mean?
Man.
Singles. Stadium tours, you know, he was already Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
So being in there, you know, I was watching the different artists and they would go in the booth and the microphone booth and lay their raps. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't prepared, he would just push the button on the mixing board where you can talk to the person in the microphone booth and say, hey, man, you might need to come out and try to write something else. That ain't it.
Wow.
You know, and that right there was like, Oh, man. I cannot go inside that booth and get kicked out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Not by Snoop, man. No way.
So that right there made me push ego to the side. And I said, you know what? I'm going to allow everybody else to go in that booth. And that's going to give me time to rewrite.
Yeah.
And refocus and come back with something worthy of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
when
I saw those guys being told, yo, you got to get out. You got to get out. You got to get out. Man, this ain't it. That ain't it.
Wow.
It made me say, yo, I'm not going to. I thought these rhymes I had was on point. You know? But there's a big chance that I'm just filling myself.
You know what I'm saying?
So let me go back and rewrite. I left out of the room. I went upstairs and I just really dug deep and I came back downstairs. And by the time it was my turn to go in, I went in, I did my thing and he didn't say, come out the booth.
Right.
You know, ooh, I came, I walked out and he was like, salute.
Wow.
And I said, okay, this is how you do this.
Right.
All that egotistical stuff, push that to the side.
Yeah.
Because my ego almost had me, you know, getting booted out the place. Because I already know that the rhymes I had, they wasn't it. You know?
Yeah, right, right. yeah.
So yeah, I learned, man, in that environment, man, that really taught me a lot. Like, it's like what you just said earlier. It's just, you got to really be prepared when the opportunity hits you, because you might never get another, you might not ever get another shot to rap.
Right.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
That might be, that might have been, you know, your only chance to ever show your talent to somebody of his caliber.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And if you're not ready, oh my God, you know,
man,
so you gotta be ready, man.
You gotta be ready, you'll be kicking yourself.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Kicking yourself for a minute too.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, one of the things I try to teach people is that windows of opportunity and doors that open, those two things that we hear, that, you know, they're like cliches, but they really do happen. And the thing about windows and doors in real life in the third dimension is they open, but they also close.
So, they do.
If you're not ready when that window opens or when that door opens, man, sometimes people are standing in front of open windows and open doors and are afraid to walk right into them or dive through the window.
Yeah.
And it's too, by the time they get enough courage up, it closes. So what you've done already in your, you know, in your career to get to where you've gotten to, it takes a lot of courage. You know, because another thing you could have done is you could have been scared to fail and you could have walked away and said, I'm just not going to do this today. You know, I don't think I'm good enough. But what you did was you had the courage to go back, to drop your ego, rewrite, come back, and then spit in front of one of the top artists in the world at the time. And, you know, and do your best and put forth, take that risk. It's all a risk. Life is about risk taking. And you were able to do that. A lot of people, when I'm talking about my manifestation work, is they have to realize that they have to learn how to take risks, but also have the courage to see everything through. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to courage, because courage is a huge part, because fear is really a choice. Because you could stand there and say, you know what? Nah, I'm too scared. I can't do this today. Or I can say, man, I got this. And you can talk to yourself. You can speak positive affirmations on yourself, on your own mind. You can talk yourself into believing that you can do anything. You know, I try to tell people, like, if I'm, you know, if Michael Jordan walks in and says, hey, man, you want to play a one-on-one? If I take the challenge to play him, if I say yes.
Right.
Now, I that means I believe in my heart and my mind that I'm going to beat Michael Jordan this one-on-one, because I don't take challenges that I don't believe I can beat. I can win.
Right.
And so now, are the odds stacked against me that he will probably win? Of course, he's Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player probably arguably of all time. But at the same time, if I take the challenge, if I say yes to this opportunity, that means I believe in my heart of hearts that I'm going to win that game. And I'm going to do everything I can to try and win that game. And I think a lot of times where people are taking these, they're saying yes to challenges out there, but they don't really believe that they can win. You have to believe it in your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. And then you put forth your best effort and, you know, then you get that salute at the end, you know? Right.
Hey, man.
Man.
Yeah. That's real, brother. I've been in those situations where you had to step up, you know what I mean? And believe in yourself. And I just think that that's one of the most priceless things, man. I tell people, you know, if you have an artist around you, not as just an artist, but I view a lot of things through the music lens because it's my life, you know what I mean?
Right.
But regardless, you know, if you just believe in the people that you care about, you know, it goes a long way. You know what I mean? Because it's not always, hey, I gotta give you some money to help you with your project or with your business or what. Sometimes it's just the simple belief, man.
Yeah,
I believe you can do this, man. You know, because people need to hear that sometimes. And it goes a very long way, man. But yeah, so what's up with your manifestation? You got like courses that you do?
Yeah, I have these manifestation courses. I do one every year called the Manifest Destiny And I did it in 2019, 2020, 2021, and now 2022 is going to be a Manifest Destiny 2022 virtual retreat. So it's not just this, usually it's just me for talking for 6 hours, a 6 hour class. But this time it's going to be me and about four other people. I got some real conscious scientists coming in, and we're going to be working on every aspect of the physiology, the body, body hacks, health hacks, fitness hacks, consciousness hacks. We're going to be going into the quantum physics, metaphysics, breaking down how the science and the mathematics actually explains how spirituality actually works so that people can learn how to tap into that. And when they're trying to tap into that law of attraction and that manifestation, they can believe that it's a real process to get to it, not just some hocus pocus magic that just happens, but they'll understand the process of how it works so that when they're working on trying to create something in the reality, they understand the process behind the scenes, behind the veil that's making it a reality. And so that's what I like to teach people. I like to take away the mysticism and the question marks so they don't think it's some magic, you know, sky wizard with a wand doing, hey, you deserve this today. No, no, it's you and it's your mind and how it's working and your conscious light waves and quantum entanglement. So I go really deep into all those aspects of it. So I have another big one coming up January 8th and 9th of 2022. It's going to be a 2-day event, 12 hours total this time. It'll be virtual, online.
And it'll be, how would somebody access it? I like to pull up to that.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. So the Eventbrite page for it will be going up. Probably by the time this video is out, the Eventbrite page will be already out. And so I'll put the link in the caption of this video somewhere beneath your information. If anybody wants to attend the virtual workshop, do it from the comfort of their own home. And you can watch it on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, iOS or Android app, and also the web. So there's no way anybody can say I couldn't see it. And they get to watch it over and over again for life for free as well. So it's an instant, you know, they get to replay it as streaming TV. So they can watch it on my TV platform, Forbidden Knowledge TV.
Oh, that's beautiful, because we do need to see things more than once sometimes to really just let it wash over us and stuff like that, man.
Right.
You sent me down a rabbit hole recently. I seen a clip on your IG talking about quantum physics. And, you know, you were talking to a gentleman and he was talking about how, you know, I forget, was it whatever it was, it made me go and get an audio book on quantum physics.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that came off of your page.
Nice.
It was like something that had to do with, you know, atoms or something being observed and knowing, you know.
Oh, the double slit experiment. Yeah,
the
conscious
double
atoms.
Slit experiment. Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, man. Yeah, one of the greatest experiments of all time, you know, where they were shooting particles through two little microscopic slits to see if they would create a digital pattern on the back wall inside a tiny little box. And we were shooting these particles through. Sometimes they did photons or sometimes they did electrons. What would happen is on the back wall of this box, they would see a wave pattern. In other words, like just how ocean waves crash together. They were like, wait a minute, how can this create a wave pattern on the back wall of this box when we're shooting little individual particles through these slots? Right. Shouldn't happen. So they said, we're going to put a little looking camera down there, a little microscopic camera, so we can detect which slit it goes through and how it turns into a wave. And when they put the little looking mirror in there, a little looking camera in there to test it and see, all of a sudden, the electrons and sometimes depending on was the photon experiment or electron experiment, they would convert back into particles again. So like, wait a minute, it's a particle when we look at it, but when we don't look at it, it's a wave. And so through this experiment, scientists found out that when you're not looking at something, it only exists as waves of potential. There is nothing solid that actually exists. It's called wave particle duality. And so if you're away from your house and you don't see your house, your house exists as a wave of potentials. When you see your house again, it collapses back into a house. It's a hard concept to grasp, but scientists were able to actually take the very first photo about 3 years ago of a wave converting into a particle and back into a wave again. And they realize it's true that there is absolutely nothing here. Solidity is an illusion, and that the only thing that does exist are waves of potential.
That's, you know, that, hey, man, that's mind blowing, bro. Like,
yeah.
I saw that little clip and I was like, now, hold on, man. Hold on. I went and straight and got a book on quantum physics for beginners. Like, wait a minute, man. I got to understand this. And they were talking about, you know, Einstein going against another guy and, you know, their experiments going back and forth. But, you know, quantum physics, man, I got to get more knowledgeable about that. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciated that clip. Like, I was like, yo, that's what I like, though. You know what I mean? Like, I like to be enlightened on things. I like to, I like to learn new things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I clean my IG up, man. And, you know, I don't like to really follow people who are vibrating, like low vibration pages and things of that nature. I like to keep things upbeat. I like to keep things positive, knowledgeable, you know, things like that, man. So man,
that's powerful
for that.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. That's, I'm happy to hear that, man. So let's talk about that for a moment. So can you describe your evolution from the time, you know, both of us, we're both born in the 70s. We're 70s babies, right?
Right.
But can you explain your evolution of consciousness, where how you see yourself thinking now at a much higher level of consciousness, where you can look back to your previous self and you can see yourself where you used to be, you know, down there, and how you've grown and developed, you know, over a little bit of time?
Yeah, man, I just think I got to give it up, man. Like I said, my mom was really open-minded, you know. I grew up in a single-parent home, and she was open-minded. She wasn't really like super strict on you have to believe in these set principles in my house. You know what I mean? So we were able to, you know, me and my brothers, my siblings, you know, my sisters, we were able to, you know, bring different types of literature in the house and discuss it. And it wasn't no problem, you know.
Wow.
You know, some of my friends, you know, they might have grew up in, you know, a certain religion household, and that was it. If you bring anything other than that, it's gonna be a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, that her being loose like that is where I like to, you know, really give props to her for that. And then you know, I was always a curious guy, man. You know, we, like I said, we were super poor. So I dropped out of school, and when I dropped out, I started hustling because I you know, my mom's, man, just seeing her crying about bills and rent and things like that, it really used to hurt me. So, you know, I started hustling, trying to get money to help her, you know, to pay for the household, you know, to keep the roof over our head and things of that nature. So, but my curiosity was always there. So I used to go to the libraries, you know, back then, because we didn't have Google. So if you wanted to learn, then you had to learn it in the library. You had to go to the library. You had to go through the Encyclopedia Britannica's, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You had to, you know, and it would take me away. You know, we lived below the poverty line. So these books would just help my mind travel, you know, and that's how it all started. And I became really attached to history. So it's like, okay, it was everybody's history, you know. You know, Roman, Greek, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And those things started opening my mind up. And then, you know, I started when hip hop was really, 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 you know, making its biggest impression on me. I would hear little lines from people like Rakim, and he would say, you know, I'm God. G is the seventh letter made. And he'd be like, wait a minute, this dude said he's God? Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why is he saying that? You know?
Yeah.
Then I would have to go and study his religion, 5% Nation of Islam, you know, and say, oh, this is what they believe. And then, you know, KRS-One, he came out with a song called You Must Learn. And, you know, he started naming these black inventors and these black people who helped the march of progress in America. Yeah. And I would have to go and look them up now, you know, like, man, I didn't know that this dude made the refrigerator. I didn't know that this guy right here. So, you know. Yeah. I just was constantly on a journey, reading, and you know, by the time that I got 16, I said, you know what, you know, being uneducated is not really for me. I need to go at least get my GED. So I went to get the GED. Boom.
Yeah.
grabbed that up. And then I said, you know, I kind of want to go to school for like sound engineering just in case I need to, you know, run my own studio sessions. And, you know, so I dabbled in that for a little while. Mm-hmm. And by the time I made it like 18, man, I got to that bookstore over there on the east side of Long Beach, the Huru Sasa. You know, they have books in there like Stolen Legacy and books in there from, you know, the destruction of Black civilization and, you know, books, you know, from They Came Before Columbus.
I have that book.
You know what I mean? So, you know, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, you feel me? Like that. So, you know, these books open me up to a different level of consciousness and gave me some sort of self-esteem because I felt like society was trying to say I was worthless as a young Black man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt that, you know, these books, this knowledge, it just gave me a better, you know, it gave me self-worth. I like that, you know, because, you know, you walk down the street, the police slam you up against the car. Where you at? You got a gun. You got drugs. Maybe plant drugs on you. You know, and you're a teenager in the hood. You're used to people looking down on you. You're looking at TV and all the people your age are playing criminal characters on TV. You know, all around you, society just seems like you're just unwanted. You're the stepchild that nobody wants. These books really opened my mind. They gave me self-esteem, knowledge itself, confidence. They gave me, you know, hope that, you know, man, you know what? If Marcus Garvey can come from these beginnings and build this, this organization, you know, maybe I can, you know, do something in this world. So it was, it was that, man. It was a combination of music, books, and my curiosity that kind of helped me, you know, and my mom, man, being really cool with me coming back home with those kind of books, you know, that really helped me. And I'm still on a journey, man. The more I learn, the more I just don't know. You know what I'm saying?
That's how it is. That's how it is, man. That's deep. That's very deep. You know, like what you just said there, the more you know, the more you learn, the more you just don't know. It's, you know, what Thoth, the Thoth is an ancient Egyptian god. He's also, you know, from the land of Kem, really before it was Egypt. But, you know, he has the Emerald Tablets that he authored, and he says the highest knowledge is unutterable. You can't even speak it. Man, that's power.
I got that Emerald Tablets joint. I got that book, man.
Oh, man.
You know, you know, them, man, even just the visions of, you know, beings being able to project themselves into other beings. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Right. But the highest knowledge
is unutterable.
Unutterable.
Yeah. You can't even speak it. You know, it's really incredible, man. So, and you know, one of the, it's really, man, it's amazing. You know, you think about that higher, that level that you can't even speak it. You can only project it or think it or be a part of a or be consumed in it. But you can't, there's no words that can even, you know, and I understand it from a perspective of like, for example, when I go to some of these ancient locations and ancient sites around the world, like when I go to Egypt, like I'll be there in a couple of weeks, I'm going back. When you stand next to the Great Pyramid and you're looking at it with your own physical eyes, there's no picture that exists that can give you that same sensation, that same feeling. And so in a way, I can understand what that term means, because photos do it no justice. Like there's no Google photo, no image that anybody can show me on TV, no video clip. For me standing there and seeing it with my own eye, it's a whole nother level, you know, that you can't even really put words into, and nobody can see that for you. They have to see it for themselves. They have to be there to be immersed in that moment on their own, because I can't even describe it to you for you to understand the level of depth that I've seen it at. So it's pretty powerful stuff, you know? Yeah, man. Yeah. How did you end up, you know, getting into the Slaughterhouse Group, or how did that all come about where you got with Joe Budden and Joelle and Royce?
Oh, man, you know what? I was pioneering something on the internet. I was doing a series called Hip Hop Weekly, where every week I would create a new song and release it once a week. And nobody was doing it at the time. People thought that that was crazy. They said, you know, you're giving away free music and you're doing it once a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very crazy. But the internet, the social media era was just really booming. MySpace. Wow. This is MySpace era, you know?
And
music blogs started, popping up everywhere. You know, now you can go to an actual website and see the news and hip hop and R&B. So I figured if I dropped a song once a week, I would occupy space on these music blogs once a week. You know what I'm saying? And my face would just be there for the whole year. So when I did that, it changed the way everybody started moving in the industry, and it changed the way people digested music. So, you know, Kanye did Good Music Mondays, like everybody used my blueprint and they started to, you know, change the way we release music. So anyway, that gave me a big following on the internet. And that actually put me on the cover of XXL magazine, the first freshman cover. So the internet was this new place, not new, but rappers were new to using it to their advantage. It became this space that we were all fighting for. Who's the king of the internet? And Joe had this thing called Jump Off Joe Button TV, where he kind of, I would like to say, he, whatever love in hip hop is, he kind of trailblazed that. Because he would film himself and his relationship with his girlfriend and put it all out there. Before people would, you know, we'd be behind closed doors. We would argue. We wouldn't want dirty laundry out there. He put it all on the internet. So he would film himself, and he was basically making the first reality show, reality show. And so he got so much momentum, and Royce was doing stuff, and Joel was doing stuff. So it was like we were all coming to us to the same point. And somebody asked us, like, hey, I like to see you guys all on a song. My guy Mecca, he was the Source magazine editor. He, you know, wanted to see us all on a song. That song didn't happen. Joe was working on a project, and he said, hey, man, can we get Crook on here? Can we get Royce? Can we get Joel? He's talking to Nino Bless. Nino Bless is another MC. He put us all together. Long story long, we put the song out, and the internet, just the music side of the internet, went berserk, because they were like, wait a minute, these four online juggernauts just came together and made a song. You know, and we were surprised about the reaction, like, wow, did you? That's crazy how crazy people are going. So we're like, hey, let's make another song. So I flew to New York. We made another song. And then while I was in New York and we made the new song, we're like, man, what if we just make a group? Because people like us rapping together. What if we just do what the fans like and make a group? So I like to say God and the fans created the group. And we just decided that day on the second song that we were making that we're going to make a group. And we actually did it. We seen it through. We put out records. And man, we took something from an idea to sold out tours.
Incredible.
It's really, it is, man, because, you know, at the time, a lot of the labels didn't believe in us. They're like, oh, you guys are rapping too lyrical. You're not catchy enough. You're not making catchy enough tunes. So they didn't really believe in us. And when they saw the impact of what we were able to do, it just shocked them too. So even the labels were surprised, like, oh, wow. So it was just a moment in time, man. And I, you know, I'm just blessed that I was able to be a part of that, man. You know what I'm saying?
You helped manifest that. That's amazing, man. That's now, because I never knew the backstory behind how all that happened, how y'all came together. But wow, that's really amazing. So all y'all just really just were peaking at the same time. And so what really happened is, from my perspective, is everyone creates their own reality tunnel. Collectively, we create reality, but we have our own reality tunnel that we have a certain amount of control over. And those tunnels run all over the place and they crisscross with other people's. And y'all's were on a trajectory to actually just meet up and y'all all got on the same frequency, and then y'all went straight ahead together on that same path for a period of time, on that same timeline, which is amazing. And you guys created a lot of stuff that is still being talked about, you know, used today. You made history, really. You really changed the way the internet, you know, music was done on the internet. And you guys were really the pioneers of that, literally. You know, yeah, man. So yeah, pretty amazing.
It's really amazing. And, you know, Eminem took notice, you know, and he said, "Hey, man, I want you guys over here at my label."
Wow.
You know, and, you know, M, that was a big thing. He's Eminem. He's sold 200-300 million records. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, "Listen, man, I bought the album, the first album that we put out independently." He was like, "I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I would love you guys to be over here on my label, you know?" And we signed a deal with him and went in. And next thing you know, we were working with him and, you know, doing shows with him and Dr. Dre. And, you know, it's 80,000 people in Dublin and 50,000 people in South Korea. I mean, in South Korea. And it's just, you know, it was really a moment in hip hop, man. And like you said, it was synergy. We came together, and that was it, man.
Yeah, amazing. And when you traveled on these tours, did you get a chance to experience any of the culture in those areas, or was it just go and perform and get on another plane and leave and go somewhere else?
I definitely got with the culture, man, because, you know, I'm trying to soak up as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able, like, sometimes it might have just been me sitting there speaking to somebody older than me, you know, that was native to whatever part of the world I was in.
Yeah.
And just learning about their travels and their journey in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I went to Australia and, you know, the Aboriginal people, you know what I'm saying? Talking to them about, you know, their history and, you know, just like you say, man, just being curious, going all around the world. And I'm actually working on something like that for hip hop in the near future, you know, to where we're gonna travel the globe. But man, it's a blessing. Traveling just opens your mind to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just to be able to say, "Hey, man, you know, we did Paris, London, you know, Budapest, New Zealand, Australia, man. Canada, you know, Korea, Japan." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I
mean, dude, it's really a great feeling. I was in Tokyo and I walked into a restaurant and, you know, they had my video on the TV and they didn't even know I was coming in there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, these things are just, they're amazing, man, and I gotta give it up. It's hip hop blessed me with this life, you know, with this journey.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's amazing. And what I try to do when I started getting involved in hip hop, you know, very late in the game, was I was trying to find a way to reach the kids. And so I said, you know, I know they like these trap beats, so I said, let me get trap beats. Let me find some artists. I found Donny Arcade, who's like my number one artist. He's his own independent artist now, but at that time he was with me and he was under me directly. And I saw he had the knowledge for a lot of the wisdom that I was teaching. But he had the skill, he had the street rapping voice. He had that, you know, he had that voice that that can reach you and make you, you know, want to listen. And so I was like, man, if I can get this guy on some trap beats with some conscious lyrics, because what I felt was the first thing you hear is the beat to any song. You don't know the words yet. It's impossible unless you're psychic, right?
Right.
And then the hook catches you. If the hook is really good, it's like, oh, yeah, boom. And then you learn the words. And so my trick was, I was like, if I can get these lyrics to sound like there's not, like people are not being preached to, but it's like still street, and get them to listen to it. And then by the time they learn those words, they got to Google, like, what are they talking about? Let me Google that. I used to look stuff up too on your end. Like, let me look this up and see what's going on here. Because KRS-One is dropping some knowledge here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I wanted to use that same technique and it started working. And these younger generations were looking up information we were talking about, finding out what we were talking about and going, wow, this is what you know, we on radio interviews and stuff. And they're like, we didn't know this is what it meant until we looked it up.
Right.
It's like, wow, are you serious? And so that's the technique that we use. And Donnie Arcade, he's an amazing, talented artist, man. This guy is insane. I would love to see you guys work, do some work together, man.
Right.
Yeah, his knowledge is just so incredible to be able to spit that into lyrics consistently. I mean, he's probably put out over 100 records already, you know, right, in just a matter of 4 years or 5 years. But the knowledge is just so deep. And so I can see that you have the same education. You went and educated yourself,
yes,
which
sir.
Is really this the best, because when you educate yourself, what it tells me is you're passionate about knowledge.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, and so, because, you know, I can tell you, hey, man, you go read these books. And you'd be like, oh, man, I got to go read these books, you know?
Right.
But you, when you seek, you're a knowledge seeker. You're seeking out the information. You want to talk to people. You want to get their what's in their head into your head so you can understand better. And that makes you, gives you the ability, the superpower to put that into lyrics and then drop it on the tracks.
Yeah.
And what I found was that through rap music, that's why I chose that medium of rap music, is because that medium will give you the most amount of information in the shortest period of time.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can drop bars.
No, bro. I think that's what makes rap so powerful, what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, because when I listen to a R&B song, a rock and roll song, a country song, a blues song, mm-hmm. I'm basically listening to 8 bars, you know, mm-hmm. sung over and over and over.
Over and over.
You know what I mean? I might get 16 bars out of that, but you can put 316 on a rap song. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can spit out so many ideas and concepts within that little 3.5 minutes that, you know, I think that's what makes it the most powerful music. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
You can just transfer, man. And you're right. Like, you get the conscious lyrics on the track beats, and you get the head nod. You know what I'm saying?
That's
And let them words just pour like juice down the ear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there you have it. That's dope.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Exactly. So what do you have coming up next? Anything new? Anything new coming up for you?
Yes, sir, man. I got Crook's Corner. That's my rap talk show where I sit down and I talk to celebrity, to rappers, producers, just anybody of the culture. We have, you know, talks. You can go on YouTube and check it out. It's called Crook's Corner. I interviewed Eminem. I've interviewed Snoop Dogg. I've interviewed Jermaine Dupri. I've interviewed Rakim. I've interviewed Black Thought. I've interviewed Royce da 5'9", Joel Ortiz, Tech N9ne, E-40. I've interviewed a lot of people, man. And we just sit down and we talk about rap minus all the messy stuff. I don't want to know what your ex-girlfriend is doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring in none of the dirty laundry. I just want to talk about, you know, what made you fall in love with hip hop? What is your music theory? You know what I'm saying? That's all I want to talk about. We just love talking about rap. So I'm doing season 3, probably starting in September. And you know, we're going to have some more great guests and we're going to expand a little, maybe have a couple of live performances. So, yeah, season 3 of Crook's Corner is coming. You can go on YouTube.
Wow.
You can see season 1 and 2. My first season was on hiphopdx.com, so you can check that out on hiphopdx.com. Or you can come to my YouTube channel, Crook's Corner, and, you know, I'm doing that. And, you know, helping my little brothers. They have a group, rap group called Shoe Gang. So, you know, I'm helping them navigate through the game, and they got a lot of good stuff on my channel right now.
Nice.
And we're just building, man. You know, I'm working on my retirement album. So I'm taking my time with it. You know, I'm not in a big rush. I've already recorded 60 songs. Probably will record about 100 and just like pick the ones that I really like. But yeah, man, I'm ready to transition and go into. I'm just want to express my love for hip hop in different ways other than the booth and the stage. So I'm developing TV series and documentaries right now. And, you know, I'm just trying to put it all out there, man, before I go to the next dimension.
Nice. Hey, man, it's all about legacy. It's all about legacy. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what it's about, man. You know, once you get like, you know, we're old, man, you know, in terms of like where our mind come from, we don't feel old, but you know, we're from the old school.
Yes.
And when you get to this time in our age group now, it's like, okay, It's not about what I got at the moment. It's what I can leave behind.
Yeah.
How can I build for the legacy, for the ones coming ahead of me? It's a reality. You know, Father Time never lost a battle. So, and so a lot of the times what I see is, like, even with my own parents, both my parents are gone. But it really didn't build any legacy for any of us. There was nothing. You know, we ended up getting some debt. So I felt like, wow, I need to change that. You know, I need to flip the script on this. I want to leave a legacy, not only for my family, but also for other people in the world. What can I leave behind that they can look back and say, oh, man, you know, this guy left this for us, to whether it's for knowledge, understanding, you know, opportunities in business or whatever, the various different things that I'm into. So I like what you're doing with that, man. I like what you're doing with that, because what you're doing is you're leaving, you're building a legacy that you're going to leave here. And, you know, and in a way, it's like a form of immortality, you know, in the third dimension.
Yeah. Yes, sir, man. It's going to be, you know, hopefully like a master class for artists who are coming up, man. They can always go in those archives, you know what I'm saying? And have a library of, you know, in Alexandria, you know?
Yeah.
I feel you, though, like, you know, that legacy is very important, man. My father passed this year in March, you know?
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Man, you know, only thing that I got was this right here, my brother.
Wow.
You know, in the Navy.
Yeah. Okay. You know,
They send me a flag. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the rest is debt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, we gotta do better.
We gotta do better. Yeah. Yeah.
I will be pulling up to your course.
I appreciate it.
And, trying to expand my mind on that level, because I do want a deeper understanding of, the laws of attraction. I believe in them, you know, and, you know, that's going to be something that's going to help me go to the next level too. You feel me?
Yeah.
So
I'm
with you.
All right. Good, man. Yeah. Cause we got a lot more work to do, brother.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah. A lot more work to do, man. Listen, I appreciate you, man. What is your Instagram account?
King Crooked. That's KXNGCROOKED. King Crooked. King with an X. Martin Luther King and Malcolm combined.
Gotcha.
And, on Twitter, I have Crooked Intriago. You can, please come to me on Twitter. We have a community called the Rap Connoisseurs, and we discuss rap all day. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Because, you know, there's a lot going on online. You're talking about COVID. You're talking about all these other things. You know for sure, if you just want to escape for a minute and come talk about some hip hop, you can come to my Twitter, and we're going to be talking about everything from the old school to the new school to the foreign hip hop, you know, everything.
Nice.
So that's Crooked Intriago on Twitter. Facebook is King Crooked, man, and I like to engage. So if you talk to me, I'm going to talk back, period.
Nice. Beautiful. Hey, to all my hip hop head fans out there, make sure you follow. Go to his Twitter. Go to his Instagram account. Go to his Facebook account. Go to his websites. All the links for all his information will be in the caption of this video, and also in the caption of this podcast, wherever it shows up on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever it is. Just check out the caption. You'll see the links to all his content. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me, my brother.
No problem.
Much love.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll get you those links to the Manifest Destiny workshop that I'm doing.
Word, man. I appreciate it. And shout out to the Rap Connoisseurs. I love y'all.
Hey, all right. Peace, man.
Peace.
You are watching Forbidden Knowledge TV. This is Billy Carson with ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. Forbidden Knowledge TV has just reached its 1 year anniversary. That's right, 1 year. And as a show of appreciation, we are giving all new subscribers a free 30-day trial of ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. That's 30 days to binge watch thousands of movies, documentaries, conferences, workshops, lectures, yoga classes, meditation courses, and so much more. So log on to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv from your computer or mobile device, or get the Forbidden Knowledge TV app on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play today, and use coupon code 30DAYSFREE. That's coupon code 30 days free on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv today.